Central Family, welcome. And if you're not a regular part of this church family or even a regular part of Central Christian Church Online, welcome. You belong here. Hey, we are planning to get back together this month in the building. It will be different. What is it right now? But Lord willing, we are planning again for it to happen. And that will be November the 29th, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. For now, save the date. We'll be getting details around and announced. We want people to have something to look forward to, and November the 29th is a date you can look forward to. So in preparation for that, audience participation time right here online right now, Psalm 66, okay? Whoever you are, wherever you are, let's read it out loud together, all right? I'll even put it up for you to see it. Now, if that's too small, I'm in the English Standard Version. We're in Psalm 66. We're going to read together, all right, verses 1 through 4. Here we go. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. You know, if Psalm 66 were a worship service, these verses would be a loud, lively, let's get with it and everyone sing song at the beginning. When was the last time you shouted with joy to God? It's a command here. God deserves glorious praise because his deeds are awesome and his power enormous. Awesome! You know, that word awesome got put on Nutrisystem. We use it too much. In fact, if you like the Lego movie, everything is awesome. We toss it around too easily to the point where it has lost weight. Do you realize the word awesome is talking about an eyes popping out of your head, jaw dropped open, can't catch your breath, I don't know what to say kind of fear? We watch a guy throw a 50-yard pass and we go, awesome! We might need to rethink that. It should probably look more like an old Godzilla movie when he's about to level Tokyo and you see the folks running and the looks on their faces as they go down the street. They're experiencing awesome. Look around creation. Look around in his word. Look back in your own life with insight and say to God, how awesome are your deeds? I want you to join this writer and me in doing that today. Like it says in verse 5, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Once in a while, it's good to step back to pull up the old family pictures and to remember how things were. Setting aside the oddities of this year, Thanksgiving and Christmas time really set the table for some of our strongest memories, don't they? Every one of our senses gets brought into the picture these times of the year. The sounds of crunching leaves and then the sound of crunching snow, carols and bells, the smells of pumpkin pie and hot chocolate, the taste of cookies, the feel of a fireplace, the beautiful colors of trees and then decorations. And so those memories get pretty well set in the concrete section of our heads. I know some of us have more concrete there than others. I can't tell you exactly what the future will look like, but I can tell you that it's good to look back and to remember what God has done. And the Lord invites us to do that. Come and see what God has done. What has he done? I'm glad that you asked that. He took Israel across the Red Sea and the Jordan River. Verse 6. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Now, actually, there are two stories here. The first one is when Israel left Egypt. The second is when they entered the Promised Land. In the first one, the armies of Pharaoh had them pinned in. God sent a great wind. He blew a path right through the Red Sea. The Bible's pretty clear on this point. He made a path of dry ground with water standing like a wall on both sides of them. Got a word for that? How about awesome. And then when it came time to enter Canaan, the Jordan River stood between Israel and where they were going. It was harvest time. The river was at flood stage, but the priests went first, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and when their feet hit the water, it stopped. It piled up like a heap of jello, and once again, on dry ground, Israel walked across a body of water. Searching for a word for that moment? How about awesome? And just like God carried Israel in some pretty awesome ways, he has taken his church over the centuries through some pretty difficult situations. God took the church through persecution, where the blood of the martyrs became the seeds of its growth. And then Constantine came to power, and he forced it on the empire. And rather than grow, the church became a political power that ruled into what we call the Dark Ages. Still, God was taking his church through those troubled times too. In the face of wars and division and abuses, often in awesome ways, God has taken his people along. Jesus said he would build his church, and he has. In 1840, Daniel R. Lucas was born and grew up in Belvedere. He moved in some time to Indiana and became the youngest army chaplain there in the state of Indiana in the Civil War. Along with a lot of other church work that he went on to do, Lucas came to Rockford in November of 1898. And he held a series of revival meetings to restart a church that had begun over 30 years before. 23 members met for those meetings in the YMCA hall. August of 1900, O.F. Jordan took over, and Central Christian Church dedicated its first building in 1901 on South Church Street. Since that time, Central Christian Church has seen two world wars, the Great Depression, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Afghanistan, COVID-19, and a lot of other challenges that many people watching here don't even know about. And by the way, thank you to our vets, especially this week. We appreciate what you have contributed for us to be able to even do this today. And still, many of you can look back through all of those challenges and you can say, yes, I remember it. And yes, God is awesome. 2020. Look back and say that? Yes. God has brought many of you through some very rough water this past year, and you can honestly say it, can't you? God is awesome. Come and see. Come and see what else God has done. He rules and oversees nations. Verse 7. He rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. The fate of nations has always been in the hands of God. He's always overseen that. Part of his plan from the beginning involved creating a nation through which he would send his son to the earth. Nothing else can explain the way a tiny group of nomadic escaped slaves became a thriving nation in its day. In fact, no nation has ever risen to power without the Lord permitting it. That fact alone can provide us with some comfort today. No matter what has happened by this time in our election process, emperors may rise and declare themselves to be deity, and generals may think they can conquer, but God is the divine ruler and the overseer of it all. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." And as he has pleased, as he wills, God has ruled and overseen the church through the ages. He has allowed a lot of getting off course by some, but ultimately, history is headed where God has planned. We can rest assured that in awesome ways, the 164-year-old history of Central Christian Church has been shaped by God's ruling and oversight. Sometimes that may be in spite of ourselves, but I'll tell you, it's reassuring to know that in awesome ways that go beyond us, God is ruler and overseer. Come and see what else God has done. He sustains us, works us over, and brings us through. Verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs and let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. They couldn't explain how they could survive on a diet of only white flaky stuff called what is it? They couldn't explain how their clothes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell during that whole time. But God explained it. He said, "Remember the Lord. It was he who sustained you." And to help them make sense of it all, God let them know that the experience of wandering and depending on him was a time of character shaping that refined and crafted them as a nation. Refining precious metals removes all the impurities from them, so that nothing but pure gold or pure silver remains. But it's a strong process. Takes a lot of heat, and the metal has to surrender its whole self to the procedure for it to happen. Looking back through the history of the church, there are times when we can't humanly explain how it managed to survive. But if we were to listen this morning, I think we'd have the answer. I think we'd see that God was sustaining his people through the hardest moments in a way that refined and crafted his church. We'd see that there were times, just like in Job chapter 1, where God could say to Satan, "Do you see my servants? Do you see their faithfulness? Do you see their character?" I suppose there have been times of refining in Central Christian Church's history. I imagine that there have been times and events that have been like going through fire or water, where it was like having people ride over your head. And then there's right now. We're going through a challenging time. I want to encourage you to let this psalm, Psalm 66, help you look forward, not just back. Look forward to a time when we'll be reflecting on these days and we could repeat these verses and look for our place in them. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Come and see what else God has done. He listened to my prayer and continued his love. Verse 17, I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. Listen to the confidence in this man's words. God has not rejected his faithful people. The times they did slip badly were the times they delighted in sin instead of in him. Sometimes he let them go so they'd feel the heat and want to come back to him. This psalm is looking back at the hard times that now are past and learning from them. For these past 8 months, God hasn't stopped loving us. And while we've humbled ourselves before him and prayed and sought his face, God has been listening. He hasn't rejected our prayers or withheld his love from us. And now more than ever is a time for the people of God to make sure that we don't cherish iniquity in our hearts. It's a good time to take a look back at what God has done. How about we all say it together again? Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. The reason it's good to look backward is because we can look forward with better understanding. If we spend all our time looking back, we'll get crooked necks. But the value of looking at what God has done among his people shows itself starting with verse 13. That's because where the psalmist says there, come and see what I am going to do because of him. That's the final part of this message today. Come and see what God has done, and then come and see what I'm going to do. You knew that was coming, right? You knew that talking about the past isn't where we stop. Part of the greatness of this psalm is that it not only recalls God's awesomeness in the past, but it also points us to what we can do about it. What should we do in the days that are out in front of us because we serve an awesome God? Well, here are some ideas. First of all, give him real worship. Verse 13, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. Now, this is about worship. God has relocated the temple, since this was written, into the bodies of his people. And God doesn't need us to sacrifice a bull or a goat to him. Jesus outdid any sacrifice that ever was. So that'd be pretty pointless. But there's a New Testament version of this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Or Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Just like this writer planned on giving God worship, we need to commit to worship on our own. The whole starting point of that is with our sense of awe, that thing caused by his awesomeness that we've been talking about today. The appropriate response of people who come into contact with the greatness of God is worship. That's something that begins inside of each of us individually. So if you're going to be moved to worship him, you're going to have to connect with the greatness of God as a regular part of your personal life. Real worship is bigger than just the times we get to be together. What we look and sound like to the Lord on Sunday mornings is going to be a culmination of what we have looked and sounded like to him all week long. There's just going to be more of us, and we'll be doing it at the same time in the same place. So commit to God, to worship him today, tomorrow, and in the future when we're going to get together. Give him real worship. Second, follow through with your promises. Verse 13, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. Which vows? Which promises to God? The ones I made when I was in trouble. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a mess, so you prayed something that went like, God, if you'll just get me out of this, then I'll fill in the blank. You ever made a promise like that? Well, good. Follow through with it. Life has its moments that send us crying out, making a deal with God. Okay, God deserves at least whatever it is that you promised him. Follow through. Maybe as you look back, you remember some commitments, some resolutions, some promises, some good intentions. Good. Follow through. Today would be a great day to say to God, Lord, I haven't fulfilled this yet, but I'm going to fulfill my vow to you. You're awesome. You deserve it. I'm going to do it starting now. Make good promises. Follow through with them. Third, give what you have. Verse 15, I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. You know, the Old Testament law detailed sacrifices for lots of reasons. Not all of them were just for sin. There were also offerings that were a way to recognize God's worth in your eyes, or just tell him thank you for his goodness. There's another New Testament counterpart to this. You can give what you have to the Lord. I need to point out that for the past year, the people of Central Christian Church have really stepped up and have really kept up when it comes to this. And as a result, we have been able to help people in need, and as needs continue to present themselves, we're able to meet them. That's how it works. And it starts with people looking at what they can do and giving what they have. You have seen what God has done. What will you do? Fourth, you can invite someone else to see it. Verse 16, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. This really is the best outcome of all this. You know, it starts with worship inside ourselves, and then it exudes to the people around us. If you saw a great movie, if you heard a great song, if you visited a great landmark, even if you ate at a great restaurant or carried food out of a great restaurant and ate it, you don't just keep that to yourself. You tell someone, you show a picture, you give details, you give directions, you invite someone else to experience what you've experienced. You know, I've never understood it when someone has something and says, ooh, that smells terrible, here, smell it, or, oh, that's gross, here, taste it. Neither does it make sense to say, ooh, God is awesome, I think I'll just keep that to myself, or I've had a life-changing encounter with the creator of the universe. I'm not sure I'm going to tell anyone else. Are God's deeds awesome? Is God's power great? Does he rule by might? Has he brought you through anything? Let me invite you to see it. God has done awesome deeds in my life, things I don't deserve. He's brought me through some fires. He's walked alongside me during the darkest times. He's displayed his power in some awesome ways. But the greatest thing that God has done for me is saved me from my sins. He's forgiven me. He has clothed me with a robe of righteousness that I don't deserve. He has written my name in his book of life. He'll do that for you too. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. This morning, if you're interested in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I hope that you'll take this moment right now to really just think about that as we pray together. Father, we invite you this morning to work on our hearts, to burn the words of this psalm deep into us. Lord, help us to have these words on our mouth today, this week. Come and see what God has done. Lord, you truly are awesome. And this morning we worship you. Thank you for these words that remind us of the place that should have in our lives. If you're interested in beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ, we, throughout the time online here each Sunday, put on the screen some ways that you can reach us. And the easiest way is just to email or to get on our website, cccrockford.org/connect. That will get you in touch with us. And if you have some comments you want to share with us, that's a great way to do it. Or questions about what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ. We would love to begin that conversation with you. cccrockford.org/connect. Thanks for being here with us today.